Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Chris Vitor joining us now because he's going to be up late. Plus, the Cavs have 15 now second-round picks. Cleveland.com joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hey, Chris.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. No complaints here. Ready for draft night.
So, you know.
No one else is.
Dustin and I were talking earlier, and it's like, all right, you know, Fedor put out this list, and I've been following what you're writing, and, you know, these guys that the Cavs like, and Kobe Altman's talking about the Fountains again. But in all honesty, how much better can the Cavs get tonight, at the end of tonight, do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's significantly better. It kind of depends on the kind of player that they take, right? If they take Agbaji from Kansas or if they take Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, both those guys could step in and help them and probably crack their rotation right away. But that's the thing to consider when it comes to the Cavs. Barring something drastic this offseason, guys, the 8-9 in this rotation are set. They've got 11 guys under contract, two of them being Dean Wade and Lamar Stevens. The other 9 in the rotation are set. So it's going to be hard for anybody to come in here and get significant playing time as a rookie. So I think they can get better. They can add something to the roster that they need that they don't currently have. But this isn't the kind of draft pick that's going to change the trajectory of this rebuild.
I'm a huge Jalen Williams fan. I love the playmaking and everything else. But I know everybody's talking about, oh, it's got to be a wing. It's got to be a 3-and-D guy. That's not exactly him yet. If he's sitting there at 14, I know they like him, right?
Yeah, he's somebody in the mix. I think at this point in time, there are 5 to 6 guys that are realistic options for them at number 14 if they stay at 14. I think it's Usman Jang, the French swingman who played for the New Zealand Breakers last year, Malachi Branham from Ohio State, Tari Eason from LSU, Agbaji from Kansas, Williams from Santa Clara is also in that mix. And if Jeremy Sochan from Baylor falls to them at number 14, I think that's somebody that they would consider as well. Tari Eason from LSU is also grouped in there too. So Jalen Williams is somebody that I do think fits. I think if you look at this offseason, coming into this offseason, the Cavs wanted to address certain areas. They wanted more playmaking, they wanted more shooting, and they wanted two-way wings that can shoot. And he gives you playmaking, he gives you shooting, and I think he's got enough size. Even though he was a guard in high school, he had a late growth spurt. He grew 8 inches from his sophomore year in high school to his freshman year in college. So now he's 6'6", and he's got a 7'2 wingspan. So he's got guard skills in a wing's body. I think that is a fit for the Cavs, even though he's not, you know, the ideal wing that you may be looking for. I think he can get by playing that position because of his strength, his physicality, and his length.
Chris, what was the thought behind the trade today to get more second-round picks? Now they've got 4 picks tonight, including 3 second-rounders.
Yeah, they don't have room for 4 rookies on this roster. I think everybody can understand that. I was told weeks ago that the 39th pick, the first second-round pick that they had, was a 50-50 proposition to actually make this roster or stay with the team beyond draft night. So to me, this sets up something. And there are a couple of different things that they could do. Look, I've been writing and reporting that they like Arizona's Dalen Terry and Marjon Beauchamp of the G League Ignite. If you look at mock drafts, you know, nobody has Dalen Terry at 14. Nobody has Beauchamp at 14. It's probably a little bit too high for those guys. So they're probably in that next tier of player. So if either one of them starts to fall down the board and they're available in the late 20s, a couple of years ago, the Cavs used four first-round picks and money to get the 30th pick to get Kevin Porter Jr., a guy that they really, really liked. So if Dalen Terry is there at 27 and the Heat are willing to listen, or he's there at number 28 and the Golden State Warriors are willing to listen, you know, now the Cavs have more trade assets. They've got more draft capital to try and jump back into the back end of the first round if they want to do that. The other thing is, you know, they've been getting calls for pick number 14. They've already gotten offers from teams for pick number 14. So if they want to do 14 and player X, hypothetically, let's say Jetty Osman or something along those lines, 14 and Jetty Osman to drop back, two teams that have reached out to them, Minnesota at number 19 and Memphis, who has 22 and 29. So if one of those teams reaches out, the Cavs could do 14 and Jetty Osman, hypothetically, for Minnesota's 19 and maybe like Malik Beasley or something like that, or 14 and Jetty Osman with the second round picks that they have, for Memphis's 22, 29, and DeAnthony Melton, or something along those lines. So it's just flexibility and optionality for them and their assets to potentially be used in a trade. And anytime you can package a bunch of seconds together and get back into the late first, it's something that you consider. Or maybe you need some of those to sweeten a deal that you think has legs going into draft night.
Chris Fedor with us, Cleveland.com, covers the Cavs. Draft night is tonight. It's interesting you mentioned Beauchamp. I saw him play a little bit last year and did one of his games. Mm-hmm. He, if they take him, he's not going to play this year. I mean, not in this rotation, especially if Sexton's back and LeVert's healthy. I'd have a hard time seeing where he would fit for a year. He'd be more of a developmental piece, right?
Yeah, and I think they're okay with that. I don't think they have to pick a path, right? Like, I don't think that they're ignoring Agbaji because he's further along on the developmental curve. And I don't think they're ignoring Jalen Williams because he's further along on the developmental curve and they're only going to take high upside developmental project types. I think they're in position to do that if they want to, because they don't need somebody to play right away, not a rookie anyway, to give them significant minutes because of the way that their rotation already lines up. So if they take a project at 14, I wouldn't be surprised by that. The guy's not going to come in with a lot of pressure. There's not a lot of pressure on him to actually be a rotation player early in his career the way that there was on Isaac Okoro or Colin Sexton. But if they take a ready-made guy that brings a specific skill like shooting that they desperately need, I wouldn't be surprised by that either. So the player that they take at 14 and whether they're actually going to have a spot in the rotation, yeah, I think it definitely depends on fit. I think it definitely depends on position. Beauchamp would be entering a crowded position. You know, Branham would be entering a crowded position as well. So it just kind of depends on which guy they go with there at 14 and how much that guy is actually going to get to play as a rookie.
Chris, what is going on with Kyrie Irving? What the hell is going on with the Nets?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, the most likely thing is that Brooklyn and Kyrie understand that they need each other. And that's probably the best thing, that Kyrie stays in Brooklyn, and it's the best thing for Brooklyn that Kyrie stays there. And I think it's all about trying to use as much leverage as possible to get what you want. I think Kyrie obviously wants the kind of contract that Brooklyn may not be comfortable giving him flat out, and he's using the kind of leverage that he has. And one of his leverage pieces is KD and the threat of KD possibly leaving Brooklyn.
Wow. Just send Kyrie to the Lakers. Let's watch that circus. I mean, that would just be
Lakers,
pure entertainment.
Clippers, somewhere out there in LA, sure. Or the Knicks, maybe. That would be fun, too. Going from Brooklyn to New York, that would be nice.
It's incredible. I mean, there's no better soap opera than the NBA. I mean, now the Kevin Durant is surveying the situation. I heard this morning from somebody, oh, yeah, Kevin Durant loves Monty Williams. He'd love to go to Phoenix. It's like, wait a minute. Like, oh, but the Suns are going to let DeAndre Ayton walk, it sounds like. So maybe, who knows? This is wild. Absolutely wild, yeah. Right?
Is the NBA, I mean, it's never drama free, that's for sure. And you're always busy when it comes to this league. It's fantastic.
What about the Colin Sexton situation? What's the latest there?
I think we're in the same place that we've always been. Colin wants more than what the Cavs are willing to give. And I think there's a gap between the two sides, and the gap needs to close. The Cavs are operating under the impression. Now, this changes slightly because of what Detroit did with Jerami Grant. Detroit now could have $50 million in cap space available to go out and hunt DeAndre Ayton and Colin Sexton, or DeAndre Ayton and Miles Bridges.
Right.
So there are three teams with the kind of cap space to give Colin Sexton an offer that the Cavs would be queasy about matching. And one of those teams would have to look at Colin as plan A or something close enough to plan A to give him a contract north of $20 million that the Cavs would hesitate on. And that's where we are right now. Colin's camp believes he should be paid as a starting guard. Colin's camp believes that his annual contract should start with a 2 instead of a 1. And the Cavs are looking at it saying, we're more comfortable given the situation that we're in, and all the questions that we have about you, your game, your fit, your style, all that kind of stuff. We're more comfortable in like the $15 to $18 million range. So until that gap closes, I think the Cavs are going to be relatively patient. They're going to let the market figure out how much Colin is worth. And the Cavs do not believe there's a team out there that is going to prioritize Colin and give him something north of $20 million. We'll see if they're right on that. They might be wrong on that. We'll see.
Chris, what is Caris LeVert's status going forward with the Cavaliers?
He's under contract for this final year. He's also extension eligible around August. They can start having those conversations with him. But I think contract extensions have to be earned, right? And I don't think in the 2 months that he was here with the Cavs after coming from Indiana that he earned a contract extension. So I think they're going to have conversations to see, all right, what is it you want? What kind of contract could you get? And if there's a team-friendly, cost-controlled option out there, I think the Cavs would explore that kind of extension with Caris. They did give up draft capital in order to get him. They did like him at the time that they traded for him. They still believe that the version of Caris that they could get this year is going to be better than the one that they saw over the final 2 months. There's optimism on that front. And they had been waiting, 2 months to see a five-man lineup of Darius Garland, Caris LeVert, Lauri Markkanen, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen. And they didn't get to see that until the final game of the season, the play-in tournament game against Atlanta. And they got it for 24 minutes. But it was really, really successful, so it made them think, hey, this is kind of what we thought we could get with Caris. This is kind of what we envisioned with this particular lineup when we made that trade. So anybody not named Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, shouldn't feel necessarily comfortable about their place within this organization. I think they could be, quote-unquote, available in a trade. But the Cavs would have to get something back of significance that is better than Caris LeVert for them to move on from him in a trade. So he's under contract. He's penciled in probably as the starting two guard right now. But I don't know that they're looking at him saying, he's the long-term answer because I don't think he's shown them enough to be that long-term answer.
Chris, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the draft tonight. We'll be reading all of your stuff. Thanks so much.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.